Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
We are out of recess. At this time, I would ask our Majority Leader, Catherine Borgia, Minority Leader John Testa, to please make their way up the aisle and escort the county executive down for the purpose of giving the 2017 State of the County.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing as we present the colors by the Westchester County Police Ceremonial Unit. Please remain standing and welcome Victoria Persico to sing the national anthem. Victoria is a native of Westchester and has performed across the country from Las Vegas to New York City and runs her own music publishing company.
Stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner that waves for the lands of the free, oh, and the
I was all ready to say, let's go Rangers. Good job. Color guard dismissed.
Detail, right, peace. Board, hook.
Thank you. Please be seated. Well, good evening. And once again, it is my pleasure to report on the progress of our great county. Welcome to everyone here with us in White Plains in the county courthouse. Thank you to Justice Alan Shankman, the administrative judge for the 9th Judicial District, for hosting us tonight. And Justice Bruce Tolbert is representing the judicial branch. We also have our county clerk, Tim Idoni, and district attorney, Anthony Scarpino, are here. Congratulations, and thank you for being here. Elected officials from around the county have also joined us. My family is here, minus one. My wife, Sheila, is here. My little one, Ashlyn. My son, Sean. And at home on the disabled list is Kylie, who I took home from school today sick, and she also has a cast on her foot from a fractured foot. So we're hoping you're okay, Kylie, and be good and do your homework. The house is full. So full. It is so full that we're actually overbooked. And we're looking for some volunteers to give up their seats to four members of my staff who actually need to sit down. And we also have representatives from United Airlines who will be coming down to offer some assistance. To those watching on News 12 and Fios 1, listening on Westchester Talk Radio, or following live on my Facebook page, at Rob Astorino, thank you for joining us. To our Spanish-speaking residents, a mis amigos de la comunidad hispana, gracias por sintonizar en westchestergov.com. ¿Se puede encontrar una versión del discurso de esta noche que grabé en video? En español. También quería añadir un mensaje especialmente para nuestras familias inmigrantes, porque el tono nacional es alterado y emotivo. Pero yo quiero decirles, ustedes son bienvenidos aquí. Sus contribuciones se valoran aquí. Yo apoyo tanto a la reforma migratoria como las fronteras seguras, pero también apoyo la dignidad humana, la justicia y el respeto. Siempre se los demostraré como lo han hecho ustedes conmigo. Now in Spanish, someone speaks Spanish here, that's good. In Spanish, I told our immigrant community that they are welcomed and valued here, and that extends to not just Latinos, but to everyone. For better or worse, in Westchester, we don't live in a land of make-believe and game shows. We live in the real world, and today, that world is divided. People are angry, voices are loud, and the media provides fuel hyping every disagreement as the partisan cage match of the century. But two world wars and our deadliest conflict as a nation, the Civil War, should put life in 2017 in perspective. It was Abraham Lincoln who warned that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And today, all Americans, whatever our disagreements, know that to be true. So how do we cut through the noise? It's called governing, and it's not easy. But in my years on the job, I have learned there are three keys to success. The first is balance. Democracy is a system of competing ideas. Finding the right balance requires listening to all sides. That's why I've been holding Ask Astorino town halls throughout the county, more than two dozen since 2012. Now, the concept is simple. Take county government on the road. Go to the cities, towns, and villages where people live. Talk to them about issues they care about. Listen to their concerns, and try to answer their questions. The Cortland town hall was standing room only in January. White Plains City Hall required two overflow rooms in February. And last month in Portchester, we moved to the neighborhood school auditorium to accommodate the crowds. Astorino, Ask Astorino, has never been more popular or more fun. At times, it was boisterous and raucous, and people were split, many still debating the November presidential election and raising questions on everything from Obamacare to Russia, as well as local issues. And more than anything else, the lesson of these forums is that on the passionate issues that divide us, there are honest people and principled arguments on all sides. As the county executive for close to 1 million people, it's my job to find middle ground, balance what divides us. And that's why I've been committed to bringing county government to the people of Westchester and listening to what's on their minds. The second key is perseverance. Good government doesn't come quickly. Our system of checks and balances invites setbacks. Now, tonight, you're going to hear about the progress in saving Playland, bringing a $1 billion science and technology center to the county's North 60 property in Mount Pleasant, and unlocking at least $140 million in revenues at Westchester County Airport to help pay for our parks, roads, public safety, daycare, and other needs. Each one of these initiatives has died multiple deaths. But to quote the late, great Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. And when you have perseverance, the toughness and patience to stick with things that you believe in, good government can happen. And the third, key is bipartisanship. No single individual, group, or party has a monopoly on the best ideas and the right way to run things. Westchester works best when we work together. And that leads me to my introductions of our Board of Legislators. I didn't forget you. I want to thank Board Chairman Mike Kaplowitz. With his leadership, and the support of other Democrats like Virginia Perez, we have put together governing coalitions on issues of critical importance. On the Republican side, I want to thank Vice Chairman Jim Mezzano and Minority Leader John Testa and all the legislators on both sides of the aisle. Now, whatever our disagreements, they have not kept us from moving Westchester forward. On this, the 20th day in April 2017, I am proud to report that the state of our county is strong. Now, let's look at that strength. Westchester is growing. Unlike much of the state, our population has increased since 2010. Westchester is healthy. Once again, our county placed in the top four for best health factors and outcomes. Westchester is safe. Overall crime is down 25% for the five-year reporting period. Westchester is working. Unemployment for 2016 was 4.2%, one of the state's lowest rates, and 44,000 private sector jobs have been created since 2010. Westchester is connected. We are ranked as one of the top 10 digital counties in the United States. Our website, westchestergov.com, attracts more than 2 million page views a month, an increase of 300% since 2010. And Westchester is smart. We have the best educated workforce in all 50 states. Just about half of our residents over the age of 25 have a bachelor's degree or higher. And Westchester is green. More than 90% of our residential garbage is converted into energy. More than 71,000 tons of papers, bottles, and plastics are recycled and turned into cash. More than 1.8 million pounds of hard-to-get-rid-of household waste, like chemicals and pesticides, electronics, tires, and medicines, have been safely disposed without harm to soil or water since we opened the household material recovery facility in Valhalla in 2012. And Westchester is getting greener all the time. Four county office buildings will be converted to LED lighting by this fall. The 78 new articulated buses that we're ordering for the Beeline system this year will be hybrids, as will all the new vehicles in our motor pool fleet. So building a smart, healthy, and safe Westchester, where people have jobs today and the prospect of even better ones in the future, is at the core of county government's mission. The record is strong and getting stronger every day. None of this is an accident. Focus and hard work are required. Nowhere have we focused more and worked harder than to make Westchester more affordable for our residents. When I came into office, the county portion of your property tax bill was about 20%. It's now about 15%. The reason? We have cut or held the county tax levy flat for 7 years in a row. The result? $400 million has stayed in the pockets of our residents and businesses. That $400 million is the amount that your county taxes would have increased had we just raised the property tax levy by 2% under the state's misleading tax cap. But we didn't. We actually cut it 2%. Now, I was elected to stop the tax madness, and we did just that by stopping the out-of-control spending. And the size of the county budget today is the same as it was when we took office in 2010, which is unheard of. Now, taxes are still too high, but citizens and businesses know that they can count on me to manage their tax dollars smartly and responsibly. And by the way, county government is running just fine on our $1.8 billion annual budget. Essential services are preserved and strengthened. Our economy is growing. Our credit rating is the highest for any county in the state, and our reserve funds remain steady. Now, since no good deed goes unpunished, some people say it's now time to raise taxes. I say no. So long as Westchester remains one of the highest tax counties in America, and so long as I remain county executive, I will not raise the county tax levy. So once again, come November, I am pledging to send to the Board of Legislators a balanced budget that for the eighth straight year will not raise the county tax levy. A strong county means being able to confront our vulnerabilities. The opioid epidemic has locked us in a deadly battle, and the enemy grows deadlier every day. The harm comes from abroad, with heroin flooding our streets from China, Mexico, and Canada. And the heroin isn't just heroin anymore. It's now laced with fentanyl, which is 50 to 100 times more powerful than morphine. The scourge can also be found in our homes, in our own medicine cabinets, where prescription painkillers are a fast way to addiction. The suffering has no walls or boundaries, and funerals are inescapable. You know, I recently shared hugs and tears with friends as we looked at the casket of their 22-year-old daughter. And pictures of her young life were on display, as a baby, making her first communion, celebrating birthdays, holidays, and graduation. And it at once broke my heart and chilled my spine, thinking of my own kids. As parents, we want to protect our kids from every harm and danger out there, but we know we can't. The best we can do is to love our children unconditionally, teach them right from wrong, and always be there for them, be their emotional support system, and hope and pray they make the right decisions. Now, the cause is not lost. Church and community leaders, not-for-profits, healthcare providers, elected officials, and parent groups have all joined the battle to beat the opioid epidemic. Police efforts have intensified. Since its formation in 2014, our Westchester County Northern Narcotics Initiative has worked closely with the DEA and FBI. Last year, the result was 200 arrests for possession or sale of narcotics, many of them street-level dealers and their suppliers. The county has also made Narcan training available for local cops, firefighters, first responders, and community members. This life-saving heroin overdose antidote came to the rescue 133 times in the last 2 years. Tonight, Westchester opens a new front in the battle with the creation of Project Worthy, Westchester Opioid Response Teams Helping Youth. It is the latest advance from our Safer Communities Initiative, which has tackled some of our most intractable problems, from developing safety protocols for attacks against our schools to ending gang violence, reversing school absenteeism, and preventing youth suicide. In each case, Safer Communities focuses on root causes, not just symptoms, gets all the key players working together, and delivers help that's practical. Now, Project Worthy will follow this approach, building response teams made up of law enforcement, health and mental health experts, parents, teachers, coaches, clergy, youth, and anyone else willing to join. Project Worthy will teach how to spot the warning signs of heroin and opioid abuse, understand the mental health causes of addiction, such as depression, anxiety, or pain management, and develop response strategies to preempt addiction. Now, instruction is being modeled after our successful youth mental health first aid program. Classes will be taught in central locations like the county center, and we also expect to take them on the road to schools and community centers throughout the county. Now, there's no illusion that this program will be a panacea. The work ahead will be tough because the enemy is so strong. But we will go forward, confident that we can make a difference, because in the words of Teddy Roosevelt, the worst thing you can do is nothing. And that won't happen here in this county. We will continue to fight. Opioid addiction can be stopped, and if we are all willing to take action against it, and we are. So join us for Project Worthy as it rolls out across Westchester. Dr. Mark Hirsig, our Commissioner of Community Health, will lead that effort. And Mark, if you could please stand up. Where is he? There he is. Thank you for putting your team together on this. There's another issue where doing nothing, sitting by idly, and letting others dictate our fate is not acceptable. The issue is Indian Point. Now, on Friday, January 6th, without any warning, news broke that Governor Cuomo, Entergy, and Riverkeeper had hatched a secret plan to close Indian Point. At stake is the loss of billions of dollars in economic activity, the loss of 25% of the electricity for 9 million people in Westchester and New York City, and the loss of tens of millions of dollars in local revenues to Westchester County, the town of Cortland, and in particular, the village of Buchanan, and the 2,500 kids of the Hendrick-Hudson School District, where the consequences are devastating. Now, the critical and potentially catastrophic flaw in the governor's plan is that it completely ignores the state's environmental laws. That's flat out wrong and why the courts must get involved. Westchester's proposed lawsuit has nothing to do with the debate over nuclear energy or even whether or not to keep the plant open. It has one singular purpose: to ensure that any decision to close Indian Point fully protects the rights and safety of our residents and our environment by following the law. Now, if eventually the plant has to be shut, so be it. But it must be shut in accordance with the law, not the whims and dictates of three men in a room. And the case really is that simple. The State Environmental Quality Review Act, or CEQRA as it's called, has two key requirements. An environmental impact statement, a study, must be conducted at the earliest possible time before governmental action is taken. And the impact statement must include details of the economic and social consequences of the proposed action, as well as offer alternatives. In the case of Indian Point, neither of those things happened. So here's what's so strange and dangerous. The State Environmental Quality Review Act, CEQRA again for short, is triggered for almost everything. Pools, roads, playgrounds, buying a computer, you name it. We had to do a CEQRA when Westchester Community College wanted to purchase fresh food for its culinary arts program. We had to do one when we gave four horses to Rockland County after disbanding our mounted police unit. And on that one, the Board of Legislators sent me a letter demanding it. We had to do a CEQRA when we changed the name of Muscoot Farm to the Alfred B. Del Bello Muscoot Farm. Now, the environmental impact amounted to an addition of 15 letters to the signs. I mean, I should have ordered an environmental review after I took our Shih Tzu Bella out for a walk this morning. I mean, I was kidding here. So how is it that nuclear reactors at Indian Point can close and leave behind their spent fuel rods in a radioactive waste cemetery for a period of somewhere between 60 years and forever without requiring an environmental review? That's the question our lawsuit demands be answered. Now, the time to act is now. The deadline to file our complaint in court is May 9th. After that, the statute of limitations runs out, so there is no second chance. Again, all we are asking for is that our people, businesses, families, and children be protected under the law, protected against electric rates going higher, taxes skyrocketing, radioactive waste being left behind, and local communities and schools collapsing, all hitting low and middle income families the hardest. So tonight, I'm asking the Democrats on the Board of Legislators to join the Republicans in supporting our lawsuit protecting our citizens and the environment. There is no cost to it. The papers have already been drawn up by the county's law department. There is no leverage without it. The county's best outcome will be in court when arguments can be put before a judge rather than in front of a political, non-binding state task force that hasn't even met since its creation in February. There is no excuse not to support it. This isn't about whether Indian Point closes. It's about how it closes. All we are asking is for our environmental laws to be followed and enforced. Now, with us tonight are Buchanan Mayor Teresa Knickerbocker and Hendrick Hudson School Superintendent Joe Hochreiter. And I just want to tell you that our environmental laws are there to serve everyone, not just the powerful and special interests. For those laws to not protect your village and your school district and your students would be a travesty. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're for or against Indian Point. Enforcement of our environmental laws is an issue that should unite all of us. So we are fighting for you, and we're asking for the Board of Legislators to fight for you, too. Now, our custom at the state of the county is to always acknowledge those without whom there would be no speech tonight. Our county and nation stand tall because of the selfless sacrifices of our veterans. This year, we are blessed because not one man or woman from Westchester serving in our military was lost in the line of duty in 2016. For that, we truly are thankful. And to the families who have lost loved ones, protecting the rights and liberties we cherish, we are forever in your debt. There is one among us tonight whose service to our country is extraordinary. Now, he'll tell you he couldn't be more ordinary, but that's what makes his story such an example for the rest of us. His name is Armando Galella. He lives in Sleepy Hollow, and his friends, like me, call him Chick. Now, 75 years ago, he was just finishing breakfast. It was 7:30 in the morning. He heard sirens. Then, in his words, all of a sudden, there was black smoke, and I saw we were under attack. We saw wave after wave of planes, and we thought it would never end. The date was December 7th, 1941. The place was Pearl Harbor. His valor that day and his contributions to family and community over the next seven decades have set him apart as a member of the greatest generation. Now, if you meet him, he'll tell you, I'm not a hero, I'm a survivor of World War II. In fact, he was awarded the Bronze Star for his meritorious service during the invasion of Okinawa. Today, Chick is one of the few living veterans in our nation to have fought at Pearl Harbor. His modesty is part of who he is, but it can't mask the truth that he is a hero and an example to all of us. And for that reason, I could not be prouder to award Armando Chick Galella Westchester's highest honor, the Distinguished Service Award. another custom at our state of the county, at least since I've been county executive, has been to provide an update on the affordable housing settlement reached between the federal government and my predecessor. The news tonight is good. On December 27th, Westchester not only met, it exceeded its goal. The settlement called for developing 750 units of fair and affordable housing in 31 communities around the county in 7 years. We delivered 790 units with another 100 in the pipeline. Now, many doubted us. Many doubted us, and others openly rooted against us, and some labeled us with false and despicable terms. But the record shows we fulfilled our obligations, and we did it while preserving the constitutional home rule rights of our communities. And this is a tremendous accomplishment. So to all who contributed in our towns and villages, thank you. Our success surprised a lot of people, none more than the bureaucrats in their faraway desks in Washington. They saw our communities as the problem, when in fact they were the solution. HUD wanted confrontation and litigation. We got their desired results with cooperation and collaboration. Now, HUD was wrong about our zoning. It is not exclusionary. And the 790 units of fair and affordable housing are the proof. Even an independent consulting firm, approved by the monitor, agreed with the county, writing just this week that, quote, it is not reasonable for HUD to insist on its own universal conclusion regardless of all the data. Now, Westchester needs affordable housing, has supported it for decades, and we will continue to push for more of it as we go along. Now, our resistance was never to affordable housing, but to an overreaching federal government that wanted to take control of local zoning. To that, we said no. We delivered on our commitments, did it on time, and are proud of our efforts. Now, 7 years in office has shown me that we can keep taxes down and still deliver the services our residents need. Our safety net for the neediest among us remains strong. There's no magic to protecting taxpayers and preserving essential services at the same time, but it does require smart government working hard every day to ensure every tax dollar is producing the maximum benefit. Homelessness is one of the best examples. Shelters are expensive, and they are no substitute for homes. By putting our focus on placing people in permanent housing rather than shelters, we not only keep costs down, but we put lives back together with a new optimism for the future. Our approach is called housing first. Find people permanent homes, and then bring the services to them, and eventually employment to the able-bodied. Last year, our Department of Social Services moved 430 families and 196 singles out of shelters into homes of their own. And since its inception in August of 2013, our Patriot Housing Initiative has helped secure permanent housing for over 500 previously homeless veterans. Now, Westchester today is one of only a handful of large cities or counties in the nation that have eliminated veteran street homelessness, and that's something we can all be very proud of. Now, helping people is at the heart of what all of our departments, commissions, and boards do. Now, I'd like to introduce you to a few of our residents and let them tell you their stories.
When I separated from the military, I was diagnosed with PTSD. When you're in a combat situation, and 24 hours later, I'm home. I wasn't able to adapt to civilian life. I bounced around, sleeping in abandoned buildings, sleeping in the park. I was approached by a veteran outreach team that we have a place for you to go. I entered into the county services. I was not only housed, I became service connected. I also have a roof over my head, a place to call my own, and a peace of mind. I'll always be grateful for what happened to me during that transition. Without the services that I've received, I'd probably be dead. Probably be dead.
Office for people with disabilities through a friend of a friend. For a year, she sat home and really wasn't active after school. And so this was a really positive life.
After being here for a few days, it got better, more comfortable around people, other coworkers. I do the mail when I come in usually in the morning. I sort the mail, I go through it, see if there's anything for any other coworkers. Then I usually take the paratransit applications and put it the way it's supposed to be.
After, I would say, that 2 months, her nerve level went down, her confidence went up. She was learning to do things that she hadn't previously done, and it had boosted her confidence.
I sometimes feel like accomplished of like what I've done. People treat me with respect.
I don't think she would be growing as much had she not failed this job.
I had started losing weight because I do have to have back surgery. The doctor said I couldn't have the surgery until I had lost a good deal of weight. I had started by going to a program that was costing $45 a person a month. And we found on our Social Security it was very difficult. When the TIPS program was introduced to us, I signed up for it. TIPS was wonderful. They provided us the same services free of charge, and it does keep me accountable for my blood pressure and for my weight. The volunteers that are working there from PACE, they are so sweet and so nice. They just invite us to come and speak with them and talk to them about all the programs. The TIPS program also offers transportation for people who used to be able to drive cars and no longer can because of their age. It is a wonderful thing to be offered by the county.
What's just the county government annually offers an incredible opportunity for students to participate in a real-world mobile app development competition.
Competition gives you an incentive to want to win and to want to succeed and to want to work harder. We have this kickoff event. We have workshops that help us with app development. For the Apple, Pace University and the county challenge us high school and college students to design a mobile application for smartphones that in some way benefits the senior citizen population.
It was a humbling experience for students to meet some of these patients with Alzheimer's and dementia, and that really allows students to connect with their target audience.
There are so many ways in which their lives could be helped, because all of our apps, the winning apps and the losing apps, could in some way benefit the seniors.
The county, at all different levels, they've put in so much time and effort and energy. I always say that, you know, the winning is a great byproduct. So the journey, to me, it's an incredible experience, for me as well as the students.
My name is Marquise Ham, born and raised in Mount Vernon. I left Houston, Texas to come back home to New York where my son is, where my mother is. I was at a bad place. I didn't know who to go to. All I knew was the things that I wanted to do. I just didn't know how to start to put those plans in motion. My son's mother, she's been doing the best she can in my absence. For a father not to see his child every day, that's a tough thing. That's hard on a child, that's hard on a father himself, you know, being away from his loved one. I was introduced to the Real Parenting Program. Since being there, I've gained employment, modification on the child support order that I have, a sense of who I am as a person, as an individual, and just working with people. It's a good feeling. I didn't think it was possible for me to get the type of help that I'm getting today. Better than where I was.
Now, some of the people behind those stories are here with us tonight. Alvin Cook, known to his friends as Sarge, Megan O'Rourke and her mom, Elizabeth, Jigar Jadiv, who teaches at Mamaroneck High School, and Sam Brouse have both broken away from their work developing mobile apps for our seniors. And the winning applications, by the way, will be announced next Friday at Pace University for our mobile app bowl. And, of course, Marquise Ham. So I just want to thank you for sharing your story. Please come on up. Stand up. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. We live in cynical times, but we can get things right. Put determination and resources together and lives are lifted. So, one more thing on the video. You know, I met Marquise Ham a couple of months ago at one of the Real Parenting classes in Yonkers. And the program we created throws a life preserver to non-custodial fathers drowning in child support arrears, many of whom are struggling with issues like unemployment, substance abuse, and criminal records. The Real Parenting Program is a second chance program, but it's a two-way street. The county helps with arrears on child support, and the participants commit to job, parenting, and life skills training, staying employed for a year, and staying current on child support. Now, everybody is helped, the dads, the moms, the kids, and society in general from strengthening our families. And because of the successes of Marquise and others, we are looking to expand this valuable program. And three of the people behind the successes are Social Services Commissioner Kevin McGuire, Deputy Commissioner Joe Kenner, and Alfonso Simmons from Westchester Family Services, who runs the training. And gentlemen, could you please stand up? Now, here's the hard part that follows the video. County government doesn't come cheap, and the bills don't go down. So you have to adapt to the realities that you're given. You fix what's working, and you try to work what is working faster, better, and cheaper. And we've been remarkably successful. Our $1.8 billion budget today is the same it was in 2010. But efficiency only gets you so far. You also need to grow revenues. And if it's not going to be taxes, and it's not, you have to look somewhere else. And that takes imagination. Now, our latest efforts have been aimed at unlocking the value of county assets. Playland, the North 60, and Westchester County Airport are the prime examples. We are unlocking all three for the benefit of our residents, not just today, but for decades to come. A government is limited in the amount of capital and expertise it has on hand. So we have looked to the entrepreneurs to join us in public-private partnerships, and there is significant progress to report. Playland is moving forward on a major renovation. In March, Westchester won a decisive victory in state Supreme Court that allows the county and its partner, Standard Amusements, to invest $60 million into our world-famous park. And next year, you're going to see new rides like the whirling, twirling, futuristic Revolution 32, alongside historic favorites like the Dragon Coaster. And couple this with refurbished grounds, upgraded facilities, and new restaurants, and Playland's fantastic formula for family fun will be better than ever. And the kids get exciting rides, and taxpayers get a break, so there's smiles all around. Shovels are in the ground, and while the work is going on, Playland will be up and running for its 89th season on May 13th. And Nick Singer of Standard Amusements is here. Nick, thank you very much for your partnership, and we look forward to seeing you on opening day. There may be no greater example of how government can deliver more by breaking the status quo than Westchester County Airport. Since World War II, HPN, as the flying public knows it, has been around and run by a county and a private company. The current operator, Avports, does a good job. So what's not to like? The problem is that under federal law, all the money made at the airport, and it's considerable, has to stay at the airport. But by breaking the status quo, the county now has an opportunity to channel revenues from the airport, money left over after expenses, to help pay for other services like parks and police and roads and daycare. The vehicle to do this is an FAA program that allows small and medium-sized airports to be run as public-private partnerships. San Juan, Puerto Rico was the first airport to successfully take advantage of this opportunity. St. Louis recently applied. HPN qualified last year, and earlier this month, the county issued requests for proposals to companies to submit their plans for operating the airport. Now, the county will judge the bids on three main criteria: the best financial deal for the county, the most improvements to the traveling experience for passengers, and the ability to operate the airport within its existing footprint and guarantee environmental protections. That means the passenger cap stays in place and the number of gates will stay at 4, which ensures that Westchester Airport cannot be and will not become a LaGuardia North. Now, the FAA program, with our own safeguards in place, will allow us to create a new operating model at the airport, all while the county retains ownership. The financial gain to the county will be at least $140 million. The idea is to create a long-term revenue stream so that money is coming into the county's budget for decades to come. This will provide important relief to the ever-increasing cost of government. Now, the bids are due back in 90 days. The selection will take about a month, and final contracts would go to the Board of Legislators for their approval in the fall. And the program has bipartisan support, so that's exciting, and we are working very, very hard to make this a reality. That brings us to the North 60. Now, right now, it's a vacant piece of county property in Mount Pleasant, but it's poised to be Westchester's most significant investment in its future. Earlier this month, the Board of Legislators unanimously approved the lease that will turn the property into the home of the $1.2 billion Westchester Bioscience and Technology Center. Now, as they say in real estate, it is all about location, location, location. And the North 60 could not be more ideally situated. It's adjacent to highways, close to mass transit, has access to the most educated workforce in the nation, and is a neighbor to world-class medical and pharmaceutical institutions like Westchester Medical Center, New York Medical College, and Regeneron. The enormous benefits are these: $9 million in estimated new real estate taxes, $7 million in estimated new annual rent to Westchester County, and 12,000 new jobs. This is a once-in-a-generation game-changing initiative. It's a catalyst to position Westchester as one of the world's great innovation hubs, right alongside Cambridge in Massachusetts, the Research Triangle in North Carolina, and Silicon Valley. And so it doesn't get better than that. And John Ferrari, the developer, is with us tonight. John, please stand up, because I want to thank you for your vision and your partnership. With this lease, we're going to be together for another 99 years. So that is some marriage, John. We end tonight reminding ourselves that our job in county government every day is to protect taxpayers, preserve essential services, and promote economic growth. And from those efforts, we have built a ladder of opportunity for everyone, young, old, healthy, sick, straight, gay, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Muslim, Jew, Christian, jobless, and job creators. This ladder belongs to everyone. It's there for first steps, a baby's vaccination, learning to swim at a county pool, middle steps, a job training certificate, English lessons for immigrants, a license to start a new business, and later steps, a home health check for an elderly person living alone. For some, the ladder is a survival lifeline. For others, rungs to success. Our job in county government is to make sure no one falls off. The ladder is for everyone to climb higher. It's not easy, but it's what we have promised to do, to provide our great county with the government it needs and deserves. The ladder is in place. The resources are there. The programs are working. The attitude is positive. The effort is bipartisan. The balance is far-reaching, and the perseverance never dies. Westchester County. Westchester County is strong tonight and will be even stronger as we move forward together. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Good night, and God bless you and our county. Thank you.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Acura of Westchester, A.G. Williams Painting, Arctic Mechanical, Toy Box, the Business Council of Westchester, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too, and now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.